You're watching KCMI-TV.
Well, I think we have a great study today, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And, you know, the goal of our podcast is just not to give you scripture, but to give you something that when you get done listening, you go, I can make that work in my life. It's a practical approach to the word of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you today about the joy of the Lord. And I have taught on this before, but this is something that came up in my spirit. And so perhaps we'll approach it from a little bit different perspective. There's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 21. It says, for God, this is the New Living Translation. I like the way they write it here. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. For just as Christ suffered for you, and this is why I'm reading this verse, he is your example, and you must follow in his footsteps. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 12, it also talks about that. It lists the failure of the Israelites in the Old Testament, and it says these things were written as an example to you so that you won't fall into the same spirit of unbelief that they did. And so the scripture is very plain on that. God writes things in the scriptures because they're an example, or they're a prototype, they're a model that we can pattern our lives after. And in the New Testament, the example that is given to you and I on how to pattern and shape our lives is, it says, Jesus Christ, that he is our example. In other words, because Jesus knew that we were men, he became a man. And the triumphs that he had were not through deity, or else that would have negated the whole process. At the end of the day, we'd have said, well, he did that because he did it through the power of deity and we're not deity. No, he did it as a man because he wanted men to know that you can achieve the same victories and the same goals and have the same authority that I did as a man. So Peter was writing. He said, Jesus is our example. So I gave you that little bit of foundation because our key verse today is out of Hebrews chapter 12. And let's start with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The only reason I'm reading this verse is because the Bible does admit that you and I have a lot of things that can weigh us down, and even some failures that we have, and they're literally trying to compromise us or negate us in our purpose. Verse 2 is the one we want to look at today. Remember now that the scripture is teaching us that Jesus is our example. So verse 2, it says, so looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he's our example. He is the author and the finisher, not of his faith, but our faith. And then, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want to break this verse down, but I want to talk to you a little bit about joy. First of all, joy, I don't think, is an emotion. It goes beyond temporary emotion. It really, I think, is an inward condition. It is a settled sense of well-being or peace, and this is the key, that is not dependent on your circumstances. This is why you and I can still have joy even during hardships. See, there's a lot of people that you, when you get around it, you don't know what state of mind you're going to be in. I've heard people say, well, we don't know which, let's say the guy's name is John. We don't know which John's going to be there today. Sometimes it's a happy John, and sometimes it's a depressed or an angry person. Happiness that you and I experience, and we do experience it, but it is generally tied to our circumstances, to when things are going well. Happiness disappears when things are not going well in our life. Joy is different. It's rooted in something deeper. And it comes out of not your circumstances, but it comes out of your faith, your hope, and your relationship. It is a deep, enduring state of the heart and your mind that exists regardless of your circumstances. If your joy only comes when your circumstances are right, then it's just happiness, and happiness is fleeting. In fact, I'll give you a scripture here in Galatians 5:22, when it lists the fruit of the Spirit. You know what it calls part of the fruit? Joy. Joy is one of the fruits that come out of our walk with God. And so I told my daughter the other day, we were talking about something, and I said, you know, the longer that I serve the Lord, the less emotion is involved in it. And I remember years ago, even in my prayer life and different things, there was a lot more emotion. And I felt like, you know, if I wasn't just rattling the gates of hell and feeling all kinds of surges of spiritual strength and everything in my prayer time and loud, that I didn't have successful prayer. But I have learned that the longer I serve God, the less emotion is involved in it. And so I want to go back to this scripture because I think this is a really powerful scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So in other words, let's go back and let's not see how Jesus handled success. Let's talk about how Jesus handled adversity. And the very first part of it, because this scripture is dealing with the cross, okay? Probably the lowest part of Jesus' life. You have to remember now at the cross, his disciples that he has called his friends, that he has invested in for 3.5 years, they've all forsook him. And his oldest disciple, and the one that he has the most hope for, has cursed him and said, I don't know him. And the other one that he called his friend has sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. He looks through eyes that have blood in them and sees his mom racked with pain, and she's doubled over in sorrow, and prophecies being fulfilled, and a sword is pierced in her own heart, and he has to give his mom away to John the Beloved. None of the people that he healed showed up. And so this is the setting, and the Bible says this, that when he's hanging on the cross, that the Father set before him joy. And I think there's a whole lot here that we can get a hold of, because the key to this verse is joy, all right? And remember, joy is not an emotion. It's not tied to your circumstances. It's not tied to your health. It's not tied to your bank account. It's not tied to your marriage. It's tied to your understanding of the nature of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that the Father, in this low point in Jesus's life, when everybody else thinks he's a failure, the Pharisees said, well, he trusted in God. Now let's see if God will come bail him out. It said that the Lord took joy. God took joy and set it before him. So you have to ask yourself, then, what is joy? I think in this setting, the joy that the Father set before him was he let Jesus have a glimpse of what was coming after this difficult moment, because he got a glimpse. He had to get a glimpse, because the Bible says the Father set joy before him. That means it wasn't present. All right, he's not in the middle of it, but it's coming. And he gets to see in the future a glimpse of the triumph that he's going to walk into and the victory when he comes out of this moment. And when Jesus got a glimpse of the victory that was going to come after the cross, the first thing that it said that he did was he endured the cross, all right? And you really need to understand this. There are some things that you can't rebuke because they're not demonic. You have to endure them. Jesus, there's no words that I just rebuke the devil and this cross and bless God, this is not for me and the Lord loves those and wants them to prosper. The Bible said he endured it. And this is what the word endured means. To persevere in the middle of misfortune and trials, all right? That you don't get so discouraged that you throw in the towel and you hold to one's faith in Christ. This is what Jesus, because he could see beyond the moment, he said, I'm going to endure this. I'm going to persevere in this thing. I'm not going to let this thing destroy. It may kill my body, but my spirit and my faith and my love and my Father will persevere. I will triumph. I will hold to my faith in my Father. This is why the last thing that Jesus ever said before he died, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Why? Because he trusted him. So he endured it. Listen, if you can endure where you're at, it will change. So he endures the cross because he can see something in the future in the spirit. And the second thing it says is he despises the shame. And the shame was many things. It looked like his ministry was over. It looked like he was a false prophet. They had stripped him down to almost being naked. They had spit in his face. He's got the spit of soldiers dripping off of his beard. He has been humiliated. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Read Isaiah there. And you know what the Bible says that he did because he could see the joy? It says, this is what despising means, to think little or nothing of. I like that. You know what he was saying? I can see the joy and what this is, this shame, this taunting, this embarrassment. It's nothing. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, he's saying the sufferings, they're nothing. Weeping may endure for night. Joy comes in the morning. So he sees his future. He says, I'm going to persevere in this time. And he says, I don't even pay any attention to the shame. And then I love this. It says that he is set down at the right hand of the Father. First of all, the Bible says joy was set before him. The Father took what was going to happen and he set it down, all right? And he said, I want you to look at this. When Jesus saw the joy that was set before him and made the choice to persevere and then to think little or nothing of the shame, the Bible said that God set him down at the right hand of the Father. This is why the Bible says that you and I have been made to sit in heavenly places. You know what sit means? It means that we're no longer doing it out of our own strength, but we are resting in God. And so I just want to give you a few scriptures. Nehemiah 8:10, you say, well, Pastor, then what is joy? This is what Nehemiah 8:10 says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you go back to the original language in Hebrew, this is really what it means. The joy that comes from the Lord is your refuge, your stronghold, and your safe place. So Nehemiah is writing here and he says, when you have joy of the Lord, not the joy of the Lord is not tied to your circumstances because they change. He said, but when you have the joy of the Lord, it becomes your strength. So let's just run with that for a minute, because then if you go to Psalms 18 and 32, the writer wrote this. He said, it is God that girdeth me with strength. In other words, when you have joy, when God gives you joy, he is girding you with strength. So joy and strength in God are intrinsically connected. They create synergy. Psalms 18 and 39 says, for thou has girded me with strength unto the battle. In other words, the Bible says this, that when you have joy, then you have strength. And when you have strength, it gives you the ability to battle. And then the last part of this verse says, for thou hast subdued under me. Get this, though thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Why? Because you have joy, which gives you the ability to see past the moment. So in Philippians 4:13, Paul said this, I can do all things, or I can endure all things. How? Through Christ, who does what? He strengthens me. So what is our strength? It's our joy. It's not an emotion. And because, see, Paul understood this, that, and my goodness, when you read Paul's life, he gives a list of the litany of things that he went through. I can't think of another human being that over his lifetime endured the things that Paul did. And he said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is why he wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter, he said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Tribulation, distress, persecution, naked, famines, peril, sword, height, death, angels, principalities, things above, things beneath, shall be able to separate me. Why? Because the joy of the Lord strengthens me. This is how I survive. When I have difficult things happen, and I know this, the closer you get to the revelation of who God is and understand him, the more the devil's going to show up. And there's an old saying, bigger levels, bigger devils. And my goodness, when our church took off and my ministry began to be bigger, we are fighting bigger devils almost on a daily basis. But yeah, I survived them and I don't let it move me because I have joy. And this is, I'm going to end with this, but joy is knowing that your future is better than your present. And if we can just look to Jesus, who went through such horrendous things, and he said, I can persevere through this. And he did. And he said, this isn't anything compared to the victory that I'm getting ready to walk in. Learn and pursue a place in God to where your state of mind is never, it's not tied to your circumstances. That you're not one of those when everything's going great, you know, you're just, well, you're ready to change the world, and then one little bad report and it rocks you, and you know, you want to get out of bed and you just contaminate everybody around you. Don't do that. Learn to have the joy of the Lord, because it is our strength. And when you have joy, then eventually, you know what you'll do? You will sit down with Christ in heavenly places. I pray the joy of the Lord on you today, that it will strengthen you. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for watching me. I'll see you next week.
For more information about Kent Christmas Ministries International or Regeneration Nashville, go to kentchristmas.org or regenerationnashville.org. And for the latest updates or videos, follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube. God bless you.